Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, friends. Due to a technical issue with his microphone, Tom Campbell sounds like he is down a well for the first 15 minutes of this week's Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review. We apologize for the disruption to your regularly scheduled bollocks. Thank you and endure.
Come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People Show. Come on to the Premier Show. SmackDown.
It's 11th of April in the year of our Lord, 2002.
FIFA. Saves time.
Blade 2.
Saves time if I say FIFA. It means that we can go straight into the podcast. No messing about.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't like messing around on this podcast,
no,
mate.
No, I figured Tiger Woods PGA Tour takes too long to say. So if I just say FIFA, it's quick, it's snappy, we get straight into it.
Blade 2 is still...
It takes too long for us to get into the start of the podcast.
Oh, I've realised what he's doing.
Say FIFA.
That took a few seconds. That's good, Tom. Then I wait for a silence and then carry on and Tom's going to interrupt this. No, Blade 2 is still number one in the charts. Gareth Gates' Unchained Melody, still number one. And Celine Dion, still, etc, etc. And the Queen Mum is still dead.
Sorry, Queenie.
I didn't vote for her.
Was she due to come back or something?
It's top of the dead.
Sorry, Queen Mother.
Gauntlet Dark Legacy for Xbox is the big game this week. There you go, a three-year-old arcade game. That'll save the Xbox in Japan.
My mum loved Gauntlet. When we were younger, we had an Amstrad. And my mum loved playing Gauntlet on the Amstrad. I realised that my mum is actually a bit of a closet gamer. Because she loved Gauntlet and a few other games on our Amstrad back in the day. And in the last 6 months or so, she's really got into Super Mario Odyssey on the Switch.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's something that we bonded over because whenever I've gone home, she's gone, right, I need you to do this bit in the desert level because I can't do it. So I'll go and get any... While I'm home, I'll go and get a few of the moons that she can't get.
Oh, bless.
So it's something we bonded over, me and my mum. Who you saw on the news video last week?
Oh. ITV record a record low audience share of just 3% for football programme The Goal Rush during the broadcast of the O2 Grand National on BBC One.
Everybody was watching the GGs.
Yes, they were.
Not the footy-footies.
No, they weren't. Cat Deeney presents the final edition of SMTV after 4 years. The shopping channel Shop closes down after 4 years on the air.
Ooh, was Shop... No, I'm thinking of Open, which was the first online shop I remember using, which was on Sky.
Right.
Remember Open?
I remember using the red button to have a look and being put off by how slow and crap it was.
Really slow and crap.
Yeah. So
I remember, I know the shop was connected to that, but never mind. RIP shop, I want to run to you.
RIP. Emmerdale confirmed the axing of their soap star's family, so it wasn't just a gimmick. It was a rubbish gimmick. Ruth Abram leaves the series immediately, with the other four actors appearing on screen until the summer. How bad must you be to be like, no, I must go now.
My planet needs
me. My village 2 miles down the road needs me. Speaking of Emmerdale, flush with the success of their shopping expedition courtesy of Gloria's stolen credit card, Kane, stop it, warns Letitia. That's right, during the draft, he's been sent to Emmerdale.
Kane's been drafted to Emmerdale.
That she must stay tight-lipped over their crime if they had to get away with it, like how he was during the first year of his existence. But he is furious when he discovers that Letitia is strictly in the amateur league and hasn't dumped the credit card and is naively hoping to slip it back into Gloria's bag without her noticing.
Oh, no. She'll notice when she gets her statement through.
Kane says, "No, you idiot. You've got to knock down the referee before you try one of those spots." And the Queen Mum is still dead.
I'm glad that we loop back round to that.
Just in case people are wondering if she gets better.
Can we get regular updates on the Queen Mum as we go through today?
I mean, the T-virus had been out for a while, so you never know. But all that was happening in the weird, weird world of reality. What is it, lad from Star Wars, was happening in the, I love that joke, I'm sorry, in the silly little world of professional wrestling? The question to that answer can be found every fucking week. Can be found only here in the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown Review. With Tom Gregg and Matthew Campbell. Fuck off.
I only associate with pros.
Go listen to the news. How you doing, Tom?
Mate, I'm all right. I've been a bit poorly this week. Nothing, like, worrying. Like not any of the COVID or anything like that, but, like, I've had a sore throat, and I had a... I scratched my uvula.
Are you Go familiar on.
With the, no, this isn't a bit. This isn't.
Oh.
As much as
you can never tell with you, you're like a bear trap.
I am very much like a bear trap, as we all found out in that nightclub. it sounds like a bit, but the uvula is the dangly bit at the back of the throat.
Oh, that thing.
Mm. And a few times, if I've had a lot of drinking, or if I've done a lot of shouting, I'll wake up the next morning and my uvula will have swollen. So it's... So apologies if you've got a sensitive stomach, this sort of thing. Like, to the point where it would be so swollen that it would be lying on the back of my throat. As you know, a uvula, the dangly bit always just dangles down. This dangled, but then sort of teetered on the back of my tongue. So it kept making me go, because it was touching my gag reflex. And I had a sore throat for a couple of days. I looked at it, and somehow I've either burnt it or scratched it.
Ooh.
And my throat's been hurting for a couple of days because of it. And so I made the mistake, obviously, of searching, like, oh, swollen uvula, sore throat.
Of course.
And of course, I'm dying. So that's good. That's good to know, isn't it? I'm definitely dying.
Say hello to the Queen Mum for us.
Yes. Yeah, reading an article about uvulitis. And I was like, oh, that sounds like what it might be. Okay, so
you see the Queen Mum, and she's like, how's shop doing?
Kane, put the credit card back. I made the mistake of looking up uvulitis, and I was like, oh, that sounds like what I've got. Okay, so what do I do? Is it ibuprofen? You must call the ambulance immediately, because you can choke to death if it's uvulitis. I was like, okay, well, I don't think it's uvulitis then, because I'm not choking to death. Unless I am, and this is all a dream. If the Queen Mother walks in, I know that something's gone terribly wrong. Otherwise, been fine. First full week of being 40.
Congrats, good. New high score.
Thank you, my brand new high score in life. And it just feels a bit like being 30, to be honest with you. Feels a bit like being in your 30s. I was worrying about nothing. I was feeling a bit weird about the turning of the years. I think I said this last week, but I'm over it now. It's fine.
Good.
We'll crack on. How are you, more importantly?
I'm also enjoying mortality.
Good, it's good, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Sorry, Queen Mother.
Yeah.
God, this is fucking harsh. Queenie getting a kick in. What have you been doing this week? Anything nice?
Just enjoying life. Saw the Iron Claw. Oh,
those two sentences do not go together.
Maybe appreciate my life a bit better. Bloody hell. I never headlined the Sportatorium, but at least my brothers aren't dead.
There is that.
It's really well done.
Mm.
I can see the praise, reason for why it's getting all that. Everyone put a hell of an effort in. Everyone looks the part. It sounds the part. Great casting. Did a very good job of streamlining things without being too, like, duh, resting dumb. Yeah, very recommended it.
I'm excited. I'm going to go see it tomorrow. Even Alex has gone, we should go and see that. Mm. I was like, it's a bit resting-y. I don't know if you want to... So, nah, I'll go see it.
Yeah. It's good, actually, because I want to hear her reactions, because the people in the audience. Yeah. The audience watching the film... They did ooh and ah at the right moments. So, and you'll be like, oh, you'll be a wrestling fan and be like, oh no, Kerry, don't get on the bike.
Yeah, don't let him go for a walk in the woods. Like, we know when
yeah.
it's It's like having watched a horror film beforehand.
It really is.
The story of it. And it's, I think I did say to Alex, I said, look, you know, not to make light of it, because it's a really heavy subject matter. I don't want to, please don't think we're making light of it. But I did say to Alex, like, it's a wrestling film, but it's a really fucking tragic one.
Yeah. You know, it's so miserable, they cut out the entire brother just to streamline it, but you get the idea. And I was thinking, if they did leave it in, like, it's almost getting to the sense of it's parody. At the point, because you just go like, oh, is he dead as well? I think I'm glad they didn't, because it's like, fucking hell.
And there's something, you know, not to add more tragedy to tragedy, but there's something sad about the fact that they cut out, was it Chris, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Chris really wanted to be a Von Erich brother. He really wanted to get in there and wrestle, but his body wasn't strong enough, and that led to him taking his life. And so tragedy upon tragedy, the brother who really wanted to be a Von Erich was even cut out of the biopic of the Von Erichs. Like, that's just, tough, isn't it? That's rough. But from all I've heard, it's an amazing piece of film.
Yep.
It's an amazing put together. Like, Zac Efron had all the love as Kevin Von Erich.
The lad from The Bear.
Yeah.
As Kerry. The guy from Mindhunter, Holt, the actor, he's very good in Mindhunter. Yeah, he plays Fritz Von Erich, fucking great.
That's some good stuff.
And the guy who plays Harley Race. A lot of people, De Flair is rubbish, but he gets the point across. But the guy who plays Harley.
Is he proper like him? that's Stu Hart, sorry. I'm going to stretch you.
I'm sorry, Father. Did you ask for someone with a very dull, uneventful voice? Sorry, can you say that again, please?
A dramatic voice!
No, sorry. The complete opposite. The guy who plays Tyler Reese, he's got the dad bod and the sideburns. He's like, I'm the heavyweight champion of the world.
Nice.
You Von Erich pipsqueaks are nothing to me. It's like fantastic.
So good.
Anyway, but that was old. That's in the modern times and the olden times. Could we get the average? What's happening in 02?
Ah, the olden times and the modern times, I see. Mm-hmm. Now, it's funny because we do start, before we get into this week's episode of SmackDown, as Matthew will talk us through the second week of the new era, it's a lot about movies. Once more.
Oh, which ones?
Well, The Rock's movies, to be exact, because The Rock is about to become a bloody megastar.
Yeah, right.
He really is. There have been overall incredible reviews for The Scorpion King. Not so much the movie.
Incredible reviews?
Not so much for the movie per se, but for one particular person in that movie, that being Dwayne Johnson.
Well, I'd agree with that, yeah.
The New York Post writes, when The Scorpion King opens Friday, the reign of a certain 50-something movie superhero, Arnold Schwarzenegger, will be all but terminated.
Good one.
Buzzing that the forthcoming Mummy prequel establishes former WWF champion The Rock as Hollywood's new premier action star. Film journalists and industry insiders who screened the movie in LA last week were stunned by the charming screen presence of the 29-year-old newbie. And across the board, the general theme is, the movie's fine, this guy's going to be a star. Like, Dwayne Johnson absolutely is a proper coming out guy for him.
Which is funny because, yes, he would be, but for the first, like, 10 years, he was only doing the odd action film and was trying to, like, be a fully ranged actor. It's only the last 10 years he's, like, bulked up the size he is now, the size of Nadask, and being a proper action dude.
He's almost become a bit of a parody of an action dude, but in doing so has become a great action dude.
Well said.
You see what I mean? But this is very much his coming out party. In the same week, Madame Two Swords unveils a Rock Wax Museum statue.
Wow.
So we've got the Rock Wax statue at Madame Two Swords in New York this week.
Remember that meant something?
Yeah, it was a big deal, wasn't it? To get yourself a Madame Two Swords wax sculpture. A lot of love from the press, from the real boring world for The Rock. The Wrestling Observer also writes, Rock will be involved with the WWF forever, if for no other reason than because Vince McMahon owns the name.
Yep.
But whereas a year ago wrestling was his first love and movies was a fun hobby, I think after this Friday, the two will forever switch around.
Has he got the winning lottery numbers there as well?
Oh, sadly not. If he has, he's written them in a really haphazard way, as he does everything. but how eerie, especially in this, especially talk about that this week,
yeah.
where the you know where The Rock has been the front and centre of the wrestling talk this week for his return to wrestling, for taking back the name The Rock as his own, leasing it to TKO to mm-hmm. have in the interim, and for all the you know and The Rock. Who went from a beloved wrestler to an uncertain Hollywood figure in flash forward to 2024, a beloved Hollywood figure and an uncertain wrestler. It's great how it switched around, and it's funny that this is the week that we're talking about.
Time is a flat circle.
It truly bloody well is. Also this week, a few people getting a run out in the WWF, former WCW valets, Daphne and April Hunter are attending a tryout camp. We saw a clip appear recently of Daphne and Crowbar on an episode of Heat,
which yes.
has been
from Richard Land's archives. Yes,
yeah, which is lovely to see.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Richard. Another name being involved for tryouts this week is Jeff Murray, who wrestles for Pittsburgh Indies as Jimmy Vegas. Does that ring a bell with you?
No. I loved him in Ideal.
Rene Dupree, the bodybuilder son of Emile Dupree, has signed a developmental deal. All developmental deals are 3 years long, so Rene is going to be given 3 years to find his feet. He'll be on the TV within a year.
Yes, because of real life events. Mm-hmm.
Don Fry was backstage on Raw.
He
had talked about WWF, about coming into the WWF last year when his New Japan contract expired. WWF didn't seem interested. Interviews and charisma-wise, says The Observer, he's got it. But yeah. The in-ring, he's learned, is so different that transition will become quite difficult.
I'd say so, yes. To learn the WWF style takes a lot. In New Japan and some of the little companies like Hustle, he showed he actually had some good instincts on him. That would not have translated to WWF style.
No. Some people really can jump from one to the other. He doesn't really so much.
Yeah.
The secret project of the Jarretts rumbles along. Not so much a secret, because we've talked about it. So basically, the Jarretts are looking to launch a wrestling promotion using weekly pay-per-views as opposed to cable time. Surely that will never work. Working relationship with the National Wrestling Alliance is on the cards for them. The Wrestling Observer writes, to show how little McMahon regards the threat of Jarrett opening up on pay-per-view, Jerry Jarrett asked Victor Quiñones and Savio Vega of IWA to do Spanish language announcing for them. They have a working agreement with WWF, although it doesn't amount to much anymore. No WWF talent is currently in Puerto Rico, nor does WWF send talent there anymore. When they asked McMahon if he would have an issue with it, he went, nah, you crack on. So if Vince had an issue with what the Jarretts were up to, he'd have put the stoppers on that very quickly, yeah. just out of spite. But he really doesn't really, he's not that bothered, is he, really?
Remember when people get sent to Puerto Rico for a paid holiday, then getting fired?
I vaguely remember this. That was a good time when
yeah.
that happened.
You know, Puerto Rico, work on your stuff, get a tan. Yeah, yeah. Ah, sorry, after 3 months, going to get... well, you know, cheers.
It is what it is. Bit of WWA news... The latest pay-per-view took place on the 13th of April from Melbourne in Australia at the Rod Laver Arena. Better than the last two, which as usual isn't saying a lot. Parts of the arena were curtained off, but other than that, the crowd looked quite healthy for WWA. The show opened...
Sun and coffee.
The show opened up with the announcement that Jeff Jarrett was banned from the building for some reason. Most people figured it meant he'd show up later, but he didn't. A swerve within a swerve, wheels within wheels.
No, we call it as a series band. He's not here.
Eddie Guerrero won the Cruiserweight title at the last pay-per-view, but he's now gone back to the WWF. So they've started a Cruiserweight tournament.
Oh, lovely.
AJ Styles beat Nova in a tournament match to open the show proper. Sid came out with a walking stick, and he revealed himself as the commissioner of WWA. He thanked Andrew McManus for giving him a job and said, I'll book some matches, see you later. It was just a nice to see Sid with a cane.
Yeah.
A strange look. Jerry Lynn beat local wrestler Chucky in another Cruiserweight tournament match. Don't know who that is. Tio beat Puppet in a hardcore match.
Yes.
Yeah, we love Tio and Puppet. Bagwell and The Cat beat Stevie Ray and Brian Christopher. It was said to be hideous. Lovely. The Funkster, which is
hideous.
Which is Alan Funk doing a Hulk Hogan gimmick, beat Pierre Oulé.
Oh.
Bloody hell. Scott Steiner and Nathan Jones got into an argument regarding their main event match, and Sid interrupted and said, I'm going to be the special enforcer for that match. Bless him. In the tournament finals for the Cruiserweight title, AJ Styles beat Jerry Lynn, which got boring chants from the uncultured hicks in Australia.
Oh,
what's wrong with you?
I mean, those matches would start off slow.
Mm.
Like, that's how Lynn did his matches, but whatever, fuck off.
Sabu beat Devon Storm in a cage match. Lots of people saying this is one of the better matches of the night. Go, lads.
Yeah, no, they're good chemistry, those two.
Yeah. Madeja beat Queen Bee in a stripper match. Afterwards, the midgets ran down and stripped Madeja, and Scott Steiner lobbed them around.
I've seen footage of Steiner doing that to the dwarves.
Mm. This led into the main event, which saw Steiner destroy Nathan Jones and become the WWA champion. Better than you think, according to the Observer. But Steiner apparently didn't give them a whole lot before beating him. Oh, Nathan Jones got a bit of a shoe in here, to be fair. So that was the WWA show. Annoyingly, not terrible. It's always more fun when there's more backstage shenanigans, but they seem to...
Damn it, we hate it when the wrestling's good.
It's doing so well at the moment, it'll probably be dead in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Final bit of news. Brock Lesnar's wife gave birth to a baby girl this Wednesday in Indianapolis, the day before this SmackDown aired. Just wanted to point that out because this would go on to be track standout Myra Lynn Lesnar. So his daughter, who is an absolute force of nature in the track world, is born in this week in the wrestling.
See, that's very nice, but it would have been funnier if, like, Brock Lesnar's kid ended up being, you know, a Twitch star or
something.
Huge nerd.
As opposed to, like, an athletic specimen. Yeah. That would have been far
funnier. The Monday
funnier.
One Eric story. I need to run around the track. No, Dad, I want to play Mario Odyssey.
That's the boring world of the wrestling, the less boring world of wrestling. Let us go over to Matthew Gregg, who's going to talk us through this week's episode of SmackDown.
That's right, the second episode post-draft. That's what we call it, right?
It's draft excluder.
I forgot the word.
Draft excluder.
Word bad, name blah, blah.
Great
We're
job.
We're at Tucson AZ Convention Center.
Tucson!
Is how you pronounce it?
Tucson, Arizona. Tucson.
Tucson.
Like a brand
of... The birds of the big beach.
Hello to all our friends in Tucson. Which I believe... Is that like a type of metal or a tungsten, yeah. Isn't it?
So how many kids have you got? Tucson.
Hey, he's done him. Tucson, Arizona. We're at a sold-out Tucson University.
We certainly are. The dark matches that we don't get to have a look at. Farouk defeats Test on Jacked. Funaki pins Lance Storm with a schoolboy roll-up. Humorous. Pinned Christian. It's not funny. And Billy Kidman pins Chavo Guerrero Jr. And DDP and Hardcore Holly fight to a double count-out.
Oh,
okay. Oh. So we're not getting Sunday Night Heat before SmackDown. It's Jacked.
Yeah, so Jacked. I think I would have thought that Heat would have stayed with the SmackDown lot. Mm. Oh, no, it does move to Raw, doesn't it?
Mm.
And then we Jacked and Metal get recorded with the SmackDown.
Yeah. Crowd go, what? How's it Sunday night?
Crowd, like, I'm here for Heat, not Jacked.
Sunday night Heat Raw.
Sunday night Heat Raw.
Heat Raw, SmackDown, Jack.
It's Sunday, we best come back tomorrow.
Security needs to set them down. It's all right, sorry.
People leaving the venue going, sorry, we thought it was Monday, we'll leave.
It's like in Westworld when the robot sees something, a bit of reality and they freak out, like, what? What's that? Anyway, we are 2 weeks before Backlash. Tonight, we have Jericho versus Edge and Kurt Angle versus Triple H announced. Ooh, more than one match announced this time.
Ooh.
You are spoiling it. Kurt Angle, the SmackDown MVP already, is here to you suck what chance? Is that a question? Kurt is furious that Vince made it Hogan versus Triple H last week rather than the Olympic hero versus Triple H. Per, in if I may add, Lees, says Kurt. In the Olympics, I beat foreigners tougher than Nikolai Volkov and Iron Freaking Sheik. Cole says, Kurt sounds pretty jealous to me. And then on Raw, Flair makes Undertaker versus Austin a Backlash for the number one contendership. And I'm like, yeah, I'm with Kurt here, to be honest.
A bit crap, that isn't it?
I think they're just happy that Austin signed with Raw.
At least Austin's back.
Yeah. Your Olympic hero is without a title shot for a long time. It's true. So I, Kurt, demanded a non-title match tonight against Triple H to show you what I can do to people like him. Kurt gets his point across, so now he fights the crowd and tells them, hey, Tucson in your stupid name. I've got an idea. How about I finish a sentence and you guys don't yell what afterwards? It doesn't work, Tom.
They're not having it.
So Kurt tries to yell, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, so quick that they can't keep up and do what? So Edge and Mr. Zombie interrupt. Edge reminds everyone Kurt's gold medal win was in the past. Hey, Kurt, try living in the present. Like Backlash, where he'll wrestle The Edge. Kurt calls him a snot-nosed punk, rather like Harley Race calls Kevin Von Erich, and says, yeah, sure, I've got no title shot, so I'll kick your ass instead. And then says, I'm going to say something you don't hear very often, Kurt. It's a date.
Ah.
Taz loves it.
He's married. He's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't hear that very often. What are you implying? Edge points out that Austin came up with, what? And Angle is very special, so they should yell, you suck, after everything he says. Instead, Kurt looks disgusted and says, hold on, you suck. Hold on a second. You suck. That's enough. You suck. Play my music. You suck. No, no, don't play my music. You suck. You suck. Just Kurt has a nervous breakdown. Just go, no, stop it. But Kurt is essential to SmackDown as your central nervous system is to your body.
Yeah, this is the second week in a row that Angle has opened SmackDown, and it's for good reason. He's a great heat grabber. And I love the fact that they are moving him into something with Edge. I think it's a great opportunity to elevate younger talent because that's the big draw of this brand split.
Yes.
Is to create new stars. And Edge is clearly somebody that they've gone, we're going to use SmackDown to elevate Edge. He's going to be our next top guy. We're going to start the journey here, and we're going to start with a program with Kurt Angle. Great wrestler and a great promo guy who will get the best out of Edge.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Once Kurt stops putting over the crowd.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. He can't help it. He puts everybody over.
Yeah.
He's great.
Even Larry in row 5A.
He's a cunt.
Chris... Larry, if you're listening, fuck off.
Fuck off, Larry. Don't want you listening.
Yeah, Larry. Yeah. Jericho in his 2002 shirt with flames on. Cheer Kurt up backstage. He says, yeah, could be worse, Kurt. You could be Jericho. Kurt tries talking, but even backstage, him and the audience can hear that you suck chants after everything. Kurt says, I hate Canadians with long hair who dress like rock stars. And there's a pause. Apart from you, Jericho.
Jericho stood there, like, as he mentioned, as Angle's like, I hate Canadians with long blonde hair. And Jericho starts, like, touching his hair, remembering that he's also got long blonde hair.
As it's just lazy town. both men agreed to watch each other's backs tonight. Oh, it's like strangers on a train, isn't it?
Crisscross.
Crisscross.
Not that one.
Charlie Brown. Tajiri, not a dance move, the wrestler, is here. And he makes Tori wear a geisha outfit because she's to blame for title loss last week. No one else, just her. Hey, Chimmels, accompanied by Tori Wilson from Japan. Makes sense now.
It now does because she now is Tori Wilson from Japan.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a rib or not. Try to tell with Chimmel. It's a walking rib. Taz points out the outfit is supposed to punish the women in Japan. Is it? Not entirely sure there, but fuck it. That's what they're going for, so we'll go with it.
Taz also asks, how does she cook in that thing?
I missed that.
Fucking hell. Got caught digressing.
Yeah, it's the 1800s. And here's the Hurricane with a complete lack of pop for some reason. Yikes. What's up
with that? Yeah, they didn't see that into him tonight. He'll work on him in this match. He'll get him going in this match.
Can't spell Tucson without suck. Cole announces it's the Tajiri versus Kidman rematch at Backlash. Hurricane does his best to get the crowd into it with a giant Quiprada dive to start.
Tucson.
Tajiri follows the outside of a Frankensteiner, Dracula Steiner.
Dracula.
Crowd is full of hair dryer pop.
You having a stroke?
I'm trying something different. Sorry. Only Tajiri's kicks seem to get any reaction, so one of them puts out the Hurricane. Oof. They tried, but I'm guessing this aired before the main event and they moved it to second because the crowd was dead.
Really weren't into it, were they?
Post-match, Tajiri yells in evil Japanese to scare Tori. So good guy Kidman lands him with a top rope drop kick and then leaves Tajiri in the ring with Tori anyway. So now Tajiri is in pain, still mad, and still the same ring as Tori. Yeah, you're a great help, Kidman.
Well done, Kidman. Well done, mate. I really enjoyed the match.
Yeah.
I thought lovely high-flying offense by the Hurricane. And at one point, Tajiri avoids disaster. At one point, he rolls out the ring. Dirty gets his foot stuck on the apron. Mm. And avoided disaster there, but because he shook it off just in time to catch Hurricane flying out of...
He's a pro.
What a pro. Very moderate pop for Billy Kidman, less so than the Hurricane. They're really... like. And is it me, only me, that's slightly annoyed at the fact that Billy Kidman's theme seems to be played on a cassette? Do you notice this? All the other wrestlers' musics are in lovely high quality, but for some reason, Billy Kidman's music sounds like it's being played through a cassette or like a really low processed MP3.
That's how they got it from the archives.
Is that how we got it?
Ted Turner. Side B of Slam Jam. And now it's time for Stacey Keibler, her legs, and no one else. So, Tom, I was thinking about this. We're in a really sticky situation here because SmackDown, as of last week, has become the Vince show. Mm. This is going to make it, what we say in the business, a bitch to recap because we can't unsee this without modern eyes. So, shall we replace Vince McMahon every week with a different character?
Ooh!
And we'll have people let us know who we should be replaced with. This week, given our shared interest, I believe they should be replaced by Dr. Eggman.
I knew you were going to say Dr. Eggman!
He's evil and has slightly better facial.
I want a secretary to help me guide Metropolis. Stacey Keibler, snooping as usual, I see.
Yeah, more on that later.
We have to determine which Eggman we're going with this week to be Vince McMahon. This is a brilliant bit, by the way. I'm all in on this. Is it, right, is it... Oh, it's me. I hate that hedgehog from the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. Do we do Satay M Sonic the Hedgehog, which is, snivelly, you fuck. Do you like, prisoners? Prisoners are good. Or do we use Eggman from the games? Which is, Shadow the Hedgehog pissed on my wife.
Allegedly
pissed on my wife.
I think we should stick with the Avengers for now, and then we'll go on.
Right, yeah. Right, okay.
But I think if there's any other comically evil people from history like to put in.
Oh, I like it.
That are slightly less evil than Vince. So, you know, Pinochet is always up for the
Pinochet.
Please let us know.
Right.
In the lovely email.
Okay, so Stacey Keibler is waiting in Dr. Eggman's office, and she's got her legs up on the... on the sofa waiting.
Does that have a name as the main in the series?
Death Egg. She's on the Death Egg.
No, they're on the Death Egg. That's all the way up there.
She's on the Death Egg.
Meanwhile, on the Death Egg. A bloody long way to go for a job
she's
interview.
She's got long legs, it's fine.
Yeah, she takes three steps.
Yes, my legs are long. Yes, my legs are long.
Keibler just clips through.
She beat that boss on Sonic 2 easy. She's so... because he's so tall.
Down.
Yeah, he's so tall. You've got to wait for him to bend down a bit. Keibler just kick his head off. With them pins. With the gams on that name. As the kids say.
They do... no, they don't.
What? The kids all say, look at the gams on that name.
This show would be a big hit in the 50s. Anyway, more on that later on.
In my 50s.
But for now, Adidas... Climacool sponsors the Albert heel turn.
That was
because
not
the
cool.
Only thing cooler than Climacool is heel Albert. And now, with no tights or top, like a big sweaty walrus, it's heel Albert fighting hottie.
Do you not get it though? Because he was sponsored by Climacool Ventilation, so this is the week he just comes out of his pants.
Sweating profusely.
It's like me in the summer. Yeah. As soon as I get home from work in that heat wave we had last year, just straight into me underpants.
It was 20 degrees in the arena, and Albert comes like,
I bet he felt really cool. Though.
Like an ECW pay per view. He's barely legal.
Barely covered.
Albert has a kanji tattoo on his thigh. The Tensai symbiote. Quick, destroy it before it spreads.
That's how he became Tensai.
Look at one name and goes, what the fuck is this?
So there's a...
Suddenly he looks at Tajiri and understands every word he's saying. He's like, whoa.
There's an alternative timeline where one of us goes backstage and just chainsaws Albert's leg off. It's the only way to stop the spread.
Local nutter arrested.
Albert, not Japanese.
He's like, oh no, the timeline's been changed. No one remembers that. Oh no, I'm going on history. It's a psycho.
It's arrested for cutting a man's leg off. You're welcome.
Albert gets a job for life. It's like, I can't believe that couldn't cut my leg off.
No, but you don't understand. It was to stop him from becoming Lord Tensai. Yeah, whatever, mate. No, seriously.
All the 80s wrestlers suddenly respect Albert. Like, wow, I've had kids shoot at me in the sportatorium. No one's ever cut my leg off.
But you don't understand. Stop lying.
Anyway, all this is more interesting then. Scotty getting a brief bit of hope with a top rope drop kick. Shades of the late, great Billy Kidman there. Holly has to fight to get the bulldog. To set up the worm. W-O-R, me face. As Holly gets interrupted and kicked. Baldo bomb, 1, 2, 3.
W-O-R, me face.
Albert continues to slam Holly to set up a Vader bomb. Until Holly's friend, Rikishi, chases Albert away. I'd say, oh, well done for waiting until after the Vader bomb, mate. But it is Kishi, so he probably set off before the bell rang. Kishi decks Albert, and Albert bravely sweats away.
Sweats away?
It's just Arigato Gazaya mask.
Okay, so the breakup of Albert and Scotty now makes sense because they want to reform Too Cool. That now makes sense. It did, like, last week, that part of it escaped me. That was where they were going. But now it makes sense. I think Too Cool is a far better tag team proposition than Albert and Scotty.
I fully agree.
So I'm all in now. I wasn't before, but I'm all in now.
We're all in now that we have more than one tag team.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Stacey Keebler talks to Dr. Robotnik about applying for a role. And Stacey, you know what, F this, but it's all right now, Matthew, it's all right. Future me says it's all right. We've got a good compromise here.
but you've already got assistance. Quiet, you two. I want Stacey as my assistant. To help me build robots.
Gee, Dr. Robotnik, what's she got that we don't?
Well, Scratch's got a good pair of legs on him as well, to be fair.
Yeah, you're right. Fuck off, Stacey. Meanwhile, Maven is still drinking from a WWF cup. The same cup he was drinking from last week.
He's a slow drink.
I was gonna say, there's a big cup. Until Rico shows up.
It's a really strong squash. Like, it's not very diluted. So he can't drink it too quick because it just makes him go.
Maven doesn't want to break protocol by have some water for this undiluted juice he's given me. But I was just going, I'll pretend I didn't hear that. He's like, oh, God.
Dr. Robotnik doesn't like people asking for water.
Until Rigo shows up to mug his eyebrows, rather like that time Tom cut my eyebrows. Horrible. In fairness, Rico's sideburns aren't as big as Maven's eyebrows.
Nah, it's true.
Al Snow sticks up for Maven and calls Rico Wolverine. Mate, Rico's way tougher than Wolverine, IRL.
Oh my God, yeah.
Rico reckons Maven needs to wax his eyebrows. Maven says, yeah, you'd know about waxing. Speaking of waxing, we then cut to Hogan, who looks like a well-waxed cupboard come to life. Like Beauty and the Beast. You know what I mean? This David Dickinson-looking piece of shit.
Fucking hell.
Sorry, was there more there?
I wanted to go back and just say that that Billy swats the Maven's WWF Niagara Falls cup out of his hand and it sets him a match between Al Snow and Chuck for later.
He nearly drowns with the amount of liquid that has fallen out of him.
But then you...
Oh, help!
But then you mentioned who can look like a David Dickinson motherfucker.
And all I thought of was Mr. Sheen's wet dream.
He's just there with his sunglasses on, looking so well varnished. Oh God. Hulk Hogan, Booker T's wife is interviewing you.
Yes, Hulk wants to prove he can do it one more time. And gives Triple H his due. More like his dude, brother. Anyway, Jericho interrupts and is somehow dressed more ridiculous than Hogan. Chris tells Hogan he has nothing to gain here because Jericho is going to beat him. And then Chris does a really bad impression of Hogan before leaving. Crowd did not react to any of this, and why would they? Jericho was appalling here.
Jericho wasn't very good here. It was a weird segment.
Now, Jericho can at least say, aha, I made myself sound worse so Hogan would sound better. No. No, you didn't.
No.
You're just rubbish right now.
They were, so, yeah, I was. That was a weird backstage bit with Hogan and Jericho. I get...
Ah, Hogan, I am here. All right, cheers.
All right, mate, thanks for that.
Fantastic.
But then Jericho kind of...
cash in your attic.
Jericho kind of planting the seed in Hogan's head that, hey, Triple H, you know, is more dangerous than you think. You've got everything to gain. He's got nothing to lose. Yeah. He's got everything to lose. You've got everything to gain.
Yeah.
You should keep an eye on him, pal. It's not like The Rock. And then we get a nice segment with those two a bit later on that adds to that.
And then there were Hogan's music. Da, 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 da. Anyway, Jericho is up next. And he is produced by... Tobacco is Wacko, Scorpion King, never heard of it, and Ultimate Fights DVD. What is this? I'm glad you asked.
I looked it up.
Overflowing with blood, guts, guns, severed limbs, and hooker brawls, Flicks Films DVD compilation of movie fight scenes, Ultimate Fights, is John Lieberman's worst nightmare. In Ultimate Fights, Flicks masterfully pieces together well-designed transition sequences... Why would you even broadcast that? With scenes from such violent classics as Scarface, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Gladiator, and Rumble in the Bronx. The result is 54 minutes of action from 16 different movies that play as one continuous thrilling experience. But it doesn't. Flicks claims that its choice of fight scenes represents the best displays of violence Hollywood has to offer. Indeed. The DVD sports exhilarating scenes from the aforementioned blockbusters. However, there are complete glaring omissions. Must not be a complete lack of lightsabers and Schwarzenegger. Well, he's old news, according to everyone.
Yeah, that's it. Now The Rock's here. Yeah. Sod him.
And it just goes on and on and on. The reviews seem to say, yeah, it's pretty pants.
It's just like a DVD of movie fight scenes for men that seem to lack adrenaline. They could just watch that or... class, just stick on all the fights. Like, why bother with the boringness of a well-structured movie? We just want the fight scenes. So here's all the fight. You know, you get those YouTube compilations of like fight scenes from movies. Imagine paying 20 quid for a DVD of that. It's basically what this is.
Film scenes for people who don't understand how film works.
For people who can't be bothered with plot and structure. This is the fight bits.
Exactly. This review ends with, the bottom line is that this DVD packs more testosterone per square inch than a Trojan Magnum.
A condom gun.
It's just a condom, but yeah.
Condom gun.
Now you've put that mental image into our heads, we'll move on. Speaking of giant magnums, here's Edge. A sign in the crowd, that'll probably be taken away nowadays, says, Jericho gets no heat.
I saw that.
Oof. Edge drop kicks Jericho over the announce table and nearly into Taz, who refuses to move. He's like an old biddy playing bingo when the fire alarm goes off.
He's like a cat in the middle of a train station.
Edge does his best. Way better. Edge does his best, but crowd can barely chant has been. Jericho has a nice bit of rolling out of a sunset flip to set up the walls, but he escapes to get bulldogged with Kurt running in to take a spear so Jericho can, land on knees after lion salt and then get rolled up for two. Oh, this match is suddenly exciting. Jericho gets slingshotted in the referee, leading to Edge locking the educator.
The educator.
The egomatic. Jericho tries for a chair.
But you're using my finisher! He's all over this show, Robotnik.
Kurt recovers to bang Edge's head off the ropes to get the schoolboy finish. Then Edge chases after Kurt. This ended up being dramatic and kept me guessing who was winning. In-ring Jericho would beat the snot out of out-the-ring Jericho. And then backstage, Jericho helps Kurt attack Edge. And Edge takes an angle slam on the concrete. And it's treated like it's no big deal. So then Hogan shows up to save Edge. Oh, is this how Edge and Hogan became a thing? I didn't know that. Oh.
Real American looking out for a real Canadian.
Yeah.
That's the true story.
He can change.
Then you can change.
I'm not changing. He can change. I'll stay the same.
It's just funny how big Hogan looks compared to everybody else in this segment. He's just like a cupboard. He's just wide and tall.
So he's got all the young dudes running towards him.
Like that Steven Seagal exhibition. Everyone bouncing off him.
Yeah. Any thoughts on this match?
I thought the match was excellent. I love this match. They work beautifully together. See more of that, please. That'd be nice. We'll see it for decades to come. Jericho and Edge, they had a nice match at Mania a few years.
They did.
Many years later. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought, this is again, SmackDown seems to be a great vehicle for Edge. So far, we're seeing the push of Edge, and I'm here for it. I don't think we get the Edge that we would eventually get had it not been for a brand split and the opportunity to really push him.
Exactly. Well said, Tom. Thank you for the good analysis.
Thank you.
I just bring the shite. And I'll put any of the time, this would be a wonderful moment. The Stacey... Dr. Robotnik desk segment that gave us Trimoon's amazing Dr. Robotnik reaction meme.
This is where the meme is born.
That's right. The meme bean machine.
And I'm really pissed off because obviously the allegations that have been made are fucking disgusting. And for right reasons, yeah, they should be brought up. And also, it means that we can't talk about this piece of history. But that's the tiniest reason why I'm pissed off, because the allegations are disgusting. And we, you know, it means that it taints a lot of this, but it does mean that it's given us Dr. Robotnik in this scene instead, which I'm all for. So in this scene, this is the one where Dr. Robotnik has a table set up in the middle of the ring and he's interviewing for assistance.
That's right. It's the rule of three.
Except
Dr. Robotnik goes...
Except it's not.
Dr. Ivo Robotnik says, bring in secretary number one. And it is, of course, Scratch.
Candidate one is Sylvia Johnson, a bookworm type with a very good typing ability.
That's good for a secretary.
Yep.
In 2002.
But the crowd don't seem interested because she's not conventionally attractive.
Oh.
So, boo to you.
Got a deviant art, you'll be cheered up.
So Vince tells her to leave. Candidate two is Grounder. Candidate two.
But Grounder cannot get up the steps. The WF is not wheelchair accessible, so he's automatically DQ'd there.
So candidate two is a bloke that comes out, a young bloke, who I presume is a writer for the company or whatever. The crowd boo because it's a bloke. He sits there, does a nice smile, and then Dr. Robotnik just immediately just says, get out! Go out! Get out! And the crowd are over the moon that this man has not even been given a fair shake in the interview process. So he's gone.
Grounder's grounded.
Candidate three is Coconuts the Monkey. It's not. It's Sue Aitchison.
Not three or four, is it? I thought it was three.
Slightly more conventionally attractive woman than the first. And this, therefore, gets a We Want Puppies chant from the crowd in Tucson. And
Dr. Robotnik, I'm a monkey.
But I'm a monkey. Dr. Robotnik asks if Sue Aitchison can take dictation and about anything she'd be willing to do as his assistant. And she's the best candidate unless somebody else wants to apply for the job immediately. And that, get on board the Death Egg now.
What's that music? Stacey the Hedgehog, what are you doing here?
Hey, Dr. Robotnik.
Robotnik, that's blatantly Sonic in a dress. Silence, coconuts.
Talk, attractive woman. Stacey Keebler comes out here and she shoos Sue Aitchison away. and says, "Shoo,
shoo." He takes a hose to coconuts.
And she, so Stacey says, "I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you." To which Stacey Keebler, the hedgehog, then dances on the table to ZZ Top's, sorry, Kid Rock's version of ZZ Top's song Legs for all our enjoyment, as Dr. Robotnik pulls lots of very popular YouTube internet meme faces. And then just as she shows her bottom, falls off his chair.
That's right. His egg is boiled.
His egg has well and truly boiled. His egg is scrambled when he gets back to his seat. And Stacey puts her legs over his shoulders. Yeah. To which Eggman goes, "Level complete!
I love that hedgehog!"
And as she gets the job, it goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Stacey Keebler is Dr. Robotnik's assistant. Well done, Stacey.
Oh, good. Yes. We're going to point out, where hopefully, the tone is on for this one. We're not trying to make...
No, we're making, it's Dr. Robotnik.
Things about the allegations at all. It's also, we're just watching SmackDown from several decades ago. And to ignore Vince is to ignore half the program.
Exactly. It's a scene that does create an iconic Dr. Robotnik meme.
There we go.
Which you have seen all over the internet. So we don't really want to talk about that. Anyway, I think we got around that.
We did that all right.
I think we handled that perfectly fine.
I said between Hogan, Jericho, and Vince, the thumbnail of this episode is going to be Michael Cole. Just don't watch wrestling. Anyway, backstage, all the guys are taking bets on Mark Henry tonight. How long until he's fired?
Joke's on them. He's got a locked-tight 10-year contract.
That joke didn't work, did it? Devon interrupts Dr. Robotnik. Oh, God, this keeps on going, doesn't it? And reminds him about last week and finding himself. And he has. Testify, he yells. Stop concerning yourself with yourself. Concern yourself with the sinners out there that need saving. Devon quotes Malachi. Thou shalt not job on TV. not that Malachi. My apologies. So Devon asks for a benefactor. Dr. Robotnik is such a righteous man, he shakes hands on this deal. And thus a short-lived gimmick was born. On the plus side, Devon sounds crazy good in his delivery of what he's saying, even if I don't remember anything else the gimmick did.
Now, I like the fact that they took the fact that he says testify as a catchphrase and made it into the entire gimmick.
And I believe his dad was a man of the cloth.
Yes, he was indeed. So that's a big inspiration behind Devon Hughes' character here as Reverend Devon. He was really into it, and he was quite sad that he never really went as far as it could. He praises Triple H for his assistance in the character, which we'll talk about in some time to come. But he was quite optimistic about it at this point when he was chatting with Dr. Robotnik. And we'll see, and it will create a WWE Hall of Famer, at least one.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it? Crazy, especially debut.
Yeah, very much so.
Anyway, don't ignore all that shit. Mark Henry gets ready to move a car,
a limo, no less.
Yeah, big deal. The RAC could do that for $14.99 a month.
So the bet is that Mark Henry can't keep a limo from driving into a wall using just his legs. So Test is going to get in the limo. And
I think it's a limo. It's just a car, isn't it?
I thought it was a limo. Pretty sure it's a limo. I might be wrong. But he gets in the car and he holds down the accelerator on the car. And Mark Henry has to hold it for 30 seconds.
Yes, that's right. And I put, never mind Mark, Ron Simmons' biceps could probably lift more than Atlas.
He was massive.
He looks fucking massive here. Clearly he's drinking arm. So Henry has to, put his back against the wall, then take a driving car's force for 30 seconds, got his legs up, he's back against the wall. Have you ever tried this exercise?
I haven't, no.
No, not with a car, I mean. Give me a second.
My car, my legs would be crushed.
This exercise. My days like this.
I just lift.
If you put your back against the wall and then squat down, so not your legs all the way down, obviously, but just in the squatting position. Oh, doesn't look like much. Give it a few seconds. Do this with a car. It's maybe legit, and I guess it is cool, but it doesn't look cool for TV. Because it looks like something you could fake, and even if you can't, it's just a car not moving, which visually isn't impressive. Like, lift a car over your head or something. That looks... Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, Tess keeps doing it for longer than 30 seconds,
and Henry can't chase him because his legs have fallen off.
The wrestlers eventually get in. Test is a real dick about the whole thing. Test is jealous.
Yes.
Because everyone's talking about Mark Henry and not about the fact that he just got a high score and grabbed by the ghoulies on the Xbox. And so he leaves the car running for a bit too long. Farouk steps in and goes, "Hey, what's the problem, man?" And then Test throws money at Mark Henry because he's obviously lost the bet. And Mark Henry's legs are too haggard to chase.
Yeah.
We're getting a Mark Henry versus Test feud.
Yeah. Which is fair enough, but like, yeah, you need these things to look cool. We watch World's Strongest Man to see a big dude pick up, like, you know, half of Greece. You don't want to see him just like, "Oh, I stopped the car."
Yeah.
Ooh, inactivity. But, you know, this is a very slow start to someone getting a push, which is what we want in SmackDown. We need more people getting a push.
And also, this is Mark Henry's return to WWE TV.
Oh, yeah. When was the last time we saw him?
We haven't seen Mark Henry on WWF TV since before the invasion.
Yeah. He was still in bloody OVW.
Yeah, so he went down to OVW, where he's been in a similar situation to Paul White, gone down there to lose some weight and get into shape, and this is his return to TV. So welcome back, Mark Henry, in which they've got rid of a lot of the sexual chocolate imagery around him and the perviness about him, and they've just gone back to going, "He's the world's strongest man, we're going to focus on that."
Yep.
So this is the beginning of a push for Mark Henry. Still not the push for Mark Henry.
Not the push.
That will come many years later.
10 years later.
Yeah, when we suddenly go, Christ. "Holy shit, he's fantastic."
Yeah. Oh, well. Tonight, Chuck Palumbo takes on Al Snow.
Ooh. That's the draft for you.
Yeah, Jesus. Cole plugs Tough Enough 2, which is on after this. Crowd quietly pops for Al. Nothing has changed. But it's still louder than the first half of the show. Match is okay, but Taz wonders if he can use a weed whacker on Maven's eyebrows. Maven chases Rico into the crowd as the censor edits the F-word chant. That's right, fantastic. They are fantastic. Good on you. As Al manages to get a pinfall win thanks to Maven grabbing Billy. As we get a very rare snowplow finishing move, which I swear was banned at one point because the head drops. Oh well, nothing here, but it's going somewhere because they're the only tag teams.
I like how Ridge Holland uses the snowplow, but calls it Northern Grit.
Fantastic.
Because that's the one thing you need if you haven't got a snowplow. You put down grit. Mm. He's the council gritter.
Can't get fitter than a Northern
council gritter. rare singles outing and rare singles win for Al Snow. We've got a tag match. At one point when Chuck and Billy were coming to the ring, they cut to the crowd, but they mistakenly cut to a man who genuinely looks bored as fuck. Which I think was a miscue from Kevin Dunn. Never mind, Dunn.
It's a pre-tape show.
Yeah, it's exactly.
That's the best shot they could find.
You're telling me of all the takes we did, that was the best one. So well done. We'll see their backlash. We'll see Al and Maven challenge for the tag titles because we are shorter tag teams.
Yes, we are. Backstage, Hogan sees Triple H and offers to help watch his back in case Jericho tries to interfere. Triple H politely declines because that's not what got him to the top. Except for Sean, X-Pac, the Outlaws, Rick Rude, China, Sable at one time, Rikishi, I guess. Anyway.
Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon, Pete Gass, Rodney, Joey Abs, Undertaker.
Robotnik, Shadow.
Every member of the corporate ministry.
Yeah.
He's a Billy bullshitter, isn't he? I got here on my own, except all the factions I was in.
Triple H says he's the game, and Hogan says, "Yeah, I've played it before," and leaves. Ooh. Nice add-on to last week's cool promo battle, as Triple H is getting more and more heel. Only a matter of time.
He does a little dig at The Rock here, where he says their match, a backlash, isn't going to be a clash of egos like the one he had at WrestleMania with The Rock. Trips and Rock have always had a lovely little rivalry. Even in this day and age, it continues on with The Rock.
It's going to be a clash of egos. Yeah, I'm not going to win.
Yeah, exactly.
It should have been, you idiot.
Yeah. Idiot.
Idiot. Anyway, it's going to be a battle of eggs. Doctor. Enough.
Battle of eggs. Ego versus egg.
That's ego on my face. That's backlash. I'm the game. Yes, I have played Sonic 3, brother.
You're gonna find
your knuckles to your face. It's the worst promo of all time.
I'm gonna leave you like I left Carnival Night, halfway through Carnival Night Zone 2 in Sonic 3, stuck.
Oh, Christ almighty. That was really shit.
That was bad. You're mobile like a Game Gear, but I will be immobile like a Game Gear at Backlash.
You're going to run out of batteries like a Game Gear.
I'm going to be pagged. I need a chin lock like a Game Gear. Anyway, main event is here, which means Sandman level entrance for Triple H. Crowd pops loudly for him, in fairness, so might as well keep him feeling like a big deal, until he isn't. Kurt and Triple H go at it evenly. Yeah, right. Have you been paying attention? Triple H batters Kurt, and Kurt gets pansted. Is that a word? And his tights come down, revealing his Olympic thong ass. Crowd goes nuts at the sight of ass.
And Trips even gives him a little spankaroonie on the announce table as well.
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it.
Perfectly fine.
Don't make eye contact. It's okay. Triple H brings him the announce table, and Taz gets ready to run now. Kurt gets the advantage and then realizes his ass is out. I was not expecting that. And then only Kurt can convert a silly moment like this into triple Germans and lose very little of his dignity. Kurt takes over, fully clothed, and Triple H makes a comeback, but Jericho interferes after firstly making a mess of it, because he's Jericho, the boozer loser. Lion Salt doesn't put away Triple H, so Jericho goes, oh, sod it, and hits the ref. Which brings out Hogan for the slowest run-in ever.
A walk-in, if you will.
He's running in pal.
He's running in pal. Everything else around him isn't in pal, just Hogan.
But he absorbs the blows and double noggin knockers them. The crowd loves all of it. Do it, you human cupboard.
It's running pal.
Triple H pedigrees Kurt. And one, two, three, yay. While Jericho bounces off Hogan's punches up the ramp. Triple H realizes Hogan is helping him when he told him not to help him. Hey, Hogan, stay out of my business. And Hogan says, well, as far as I'm concerned, you are my business. Hogan goes to leave, but Kurt pushes Triple H into Hogan. So Hogan takes a bump, gets up, turns around, and he's pissed at Triple H hitting him from behind. So he decks him, lands a leg drop, and holds the title up. And I thought, that's a lovely way to end this. It's not how we end.
Nope.
Jericho and Angle beat them both up for like 30 seconds, and then we leave on that.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
We leave. One of the last shots we see is Jericho holding the Undisputed title and staring at it lovingly.
Cuts the bored guy in the crowd. We don't want to see that.
To Jericho, the title's at the ring. It's like he shouldn't be coveting it because it does terrible things when you've got it. Like, you don't want that again.
It makes his wife do terrible things. So then, yeah. And then we T-pose and we're out. That was SmackDown, Tom.
They all T-posed at the end. It was a lovely moment. Angle and Jericho.
My God, they've done it again.
Just T-posed over Hogan and Trips. God love them. I'm glad that they ended on top. It was fine as an episode of SmackDown. Poodled along quite nicely. I missed the chaos of trying to get everybody shit in on SmackDown. Like, because the weeks leading up to WrestleMania, SmackDowns were just chaotic because it was like 400 segments, 300 matches. And now we've got a much smaller, normal-sized roster. Everything's got a bit more time to breathe.
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it?
It's horrible. I missed the chaos.
It means the podcast is a lot shorter.
It last two have clocked in at less than an hour and a quarter.
What? I thought, cultaholic we were.
I know, right?
Quantity, not quality.
It's always been about quantity. Yeah. I'm livid, quite frankly.
But we covered everything.
Might have started talking about
stuff that didn't happen.
Might have started talking about heat or something as well. I don't know. It was not what I expected.
As in Albert has none.
Exactly. Exactly.
The climacool fool.
Hey, nice. I'm enjoying the time that Edge is getting. I feel like we're watching the birth of Edge as a main event guy.
Yeah.
And he's still not quite the full tick, but of course he's not expected to be because this is just the beginning of his journey.
That's
he doesn't become immediately super powerful, but I'm enjoying the journey. Of watching Edge become a top guy, which they didn't put him out there in the main event, but they had him feature here. Mm. I thought that this week we got Edge teaming with The Rock, but maybe we get that another week.
Yeah, Rock's a bit busy.
Yeah, he's a little bit busy this week, but I'm sure we do see Rock again. Maybe we see him around Vengeance. So maybe we are done with him for a little while. because he's got no matches for Backlash, and there's no need to put him on the Backlash.
Yeah, he's having vengeance because he's got the main event.
Yeah,
so
that's it. What did you remember from this week?
I remember the Stacey Keibler Dr. Robotnik segment. It was nice seeing Dr. Robotnik on there.
I thought it was that bit is part of wrestling lore.
Yes,
essentially, isn't it?
It certainly is, and it's not going around. Not going around, not leaving us. What, Matthew?
I don't even.
They got there.
I remember Hogan leg dropping Triple H. I remember as being a weird fan at the time. I wasn't massively enamored with the Hogan comeback, so I was a bit like, "Oh, why is Hogan looking good with all the new guys?"
Yeah, I was exactly the same.
So I remember watching that and being quite annoyed by it, and boy, would I get even more annoyed. I was young and naive. It's fine. What did you forget?
Edge and Hogan.
Yeah,
their friendship
blossoming. The birth of that friendship. Ah, yeah, and a weird backstage bit.
Yeah, and they don't just become more and more chummy and talk about Mr. Nanny, which I know is coming up soon.
It's almost like Hogan recognises that Edge is getting pushed as a young main event talent, and he's kind of, you know, he's sticking himself to him. What's the word I'm reaching for?
Well,
it
happens when you use Mr. Sheen too much.
he's too shiny, and he just sticks to surfaces now. That's the problem.
Young upcoming wrestlers are like, what's happening?
Oh. He's just is it carbuncling? He's carbuncling himself to the Edge.
Good, Dad. Yes.
Yeah. He's just carbuncling.
You get carbuncling, the word.
There you go. He's carbuncling himself to Edge, which we'll see more of. I forgot the Too Cool reunited. Mm. I remember watching last week going, why are they splitting up Scotty and Albert? Why you had two more singles wrestlers for the sake of a tag team when you need a tag team on SmackDown? And then this week, watching that, I went, that's why that makes more sense. Mm-hmm. I take back some of my complaints about last week with the rushed nature of the Albert Scotty split, because they clearly wanted to get to that a bit quicker.
But they wrestle at WrestleMania 20, this tag team.
They do.
They're around for 2 years.
I'm sure Scotty gets hurt.
Okay.
So they're not around for a long time.
Yes, because I don't remember that at all.
No, I'm sure Scotty gets hurt. I'm sure Rikishi gets hurt as well. Yeah. So they're not consistently around. They're around for a bit here, but I don't think we see loads of them.
Yeah.
But one to watch.
SmackDown looks rather appetizing right now. I think there's much doom and gloom was said around this period. I think maybe next year as well, when they introduce more and more pay-per-views. But like right now, right about now, it's like, no, this looks okay.
We've kind of lucked out because Raw, whilst it's considered the main show, Raw does have a lot more of the stinkers on there. It's a bit like you'll have the NWO stuff over there now. You have a lot of the back and forth with Austin and Ric Flair and the Big Show. Yeah. So that kind of glooms up a lot of Raw, whereas SmackDown is considered the younger guy show that every so often just gets poached by Raw and then left with the bloody Luther Reigns of the world. Hmm. But more often than not, SmackDown's going to be a fun watch. Paul Heyman's coming in soon to write it. So exciting times ahead. Anything you want to plug?
New Botchamania's out, but yay, whatever. It's like clockwork now, it doesn't really matter. Fraser Porter's new video.
So the over-the-top rope.
Over the top. You know, big fan of Stallone out there. he put a lot of sweat and effort into that, so you give that a watch.
Lovely documentary.
You'll have been saying good things about it.
Ooh, Kevin Owens is on it. Maven Huffman's in it. Dylan Postel's on it.
Matthew's friend Hornswoggle.
Are you doing something with Dylan Postel, have I heard?
Oh, yes, he's uploaded the podcast I'm on. Thank you for reminding me.
That was the
quid pro quo.
Nice.
I'll do Fraser's thing, but you have to come on my podcast. I'm like, damn it, I like talking with you, Hornswoggle. Okay, you drive a hard bargain.
So is that available now?
It is, yes.
Excellent. I want to see that now.
For those that follow Dylan Postel's stuff.
What a boy. Like,
he doesn't know what he's doing, but he knows people who does know. And he listens to them, which is how I operate in life. So, love you, Hornswoggle.
That's a good way to be. You may have seen on your Twitter timelines clips of a wrestling company based out of Uganda called Soft Ground Wrestling, where they've been putting on these incredible wrestling matches. They don't have a ring, and they're incredibly well-trained wrestlers. I was fascinated by this. So, I had a call with Uganda yesterday and spoke to Bumbash Daniel, who is the founder of Soft Ground Wrestling. And the story behind how that promotion came to be, that has suddenly become a viral sensation, is amazing. And also, they are looking for support because they want to get a ring and they want land so they can continue to do what they do. So their GoFundMe was set up by their US ambassador, who I've spoke to, Jake Rhodes, who has been looking after their endeavors in the away from Uganda. So we had a chat on the podcast feed, and you can listen to that right now. What a lovely guy Bumbash Daniel is. Really, really honoured to have got to chat to the guy who's created this viral sensation that's popped up on your timelines now. So that's on the podcast feed. If you haven't listened to that, take time over the weekend to do that. And for the latest wrestling news throughout the week, you can check out cultaholic.com. He's Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. And together we're at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us, snooping as usual, I see.
And please let us know who we should replace Vince with next week.
Classic at cultaholic.com. Love you, bye. Bum, bum, bum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.